Proverbs 25 and verse 11. Just two verses tonight. Hope that you'll work through the card that we passed out. We'll get that to that here in a minute. It's really meant to be a tool for you to use. Proverbs 25 at verse 11. Let me actually point out a word in verse 12 first so that you can understand the context of verse 11. If you look down in verse 12, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Okay, reprover means a corrector. And so often we read verse 11 as its own verse. But you'll see the two illustrations. The illustration in verse 11 is the same as the illustration very closely tied to it in verse 12. These two verses are meant to work together, not apart from each other. So let's read them together. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold. So is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. That's a rich verse, isn't it? A wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Let's pray, and then we'll get into God's word here. Lord, I'm just thrilled. You know, my heart is more full than I could ever express to be with these people, and the spirit here is contagious. I don't want to leave. I don't understand why people bemoan being at church when there's such a great spirit here. The singing has been so wonderful, the music all day, and those who have made the day possible with ministry, we're just so thankful for that. And so thank you for people who are faithful to be here tonight, who are hunger and thirst after righteousness. I pray that you'd help me to communicate with the right spirit tonight. You know my heart would be just to add, to help in some small way. I'm thankful to be able to preach to these people. So grateful for Brother Pyle and their family. And just pray your blessing on this church going forward. And I pray this in your name. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. So far, we've traveled 1,500 miles on our trip, on our road trip here, all the way from Stillwater, Oklahoma. We'll probably put in around 4,000 miles by the time it's all done. And I love a road trip like that. But man, let me tell you, I know there's bad things about them, but I am thankful for a GPS. I am. 1,500 miles makes you thankful for a GPS, an external navigation system that is there. And I love, I don't know, you men, you know, you put in the destination, and I just like to know how long it's going to take, and then you try to beat it, right? You know, that's what a good man does. And it's like, honey, you got 3 minutes to get out of the car, and we're going to get this kid changed. We're fueling up because we're going to get back in because we're going to beat this time, right? You know, that's how the GPS, you know, you're just fighting it the whole way. And I enjoy that. But as much as I love them, I can also hate them equally, you know. My favorite feature and the feature I hate the most about the GPS is when you take a wrong turn. You've been there, right? So you take a wrong turn, and you're already, number one, you're mad because you took a wrong turn. Okay, I'm not the only one out there. You're upset, all right? And then it's like, your wife better not say anything to you at that point in time. I think you took the wrong turn. I know! The GPS is yelling at me, and it's telling you, oh, take a U-turn in 100 feet, and 200 feet, take a right turn, and then turn slightly right. And you're like, what? What is that? And take a right turn, and it's telling you all these directions. It's telling you, hey, you took a wrong turn, and you need to get back on course. And so that's my favorite part, and that's my least favorite part about the GPS there. But, you know, I'm thankful, because without an external navigation system, I'd probably just keep going the wrong way. I'm very thankful. So as annoying as it is, as alarming as it is sometimes, it at least tells me, Levi, you took a wrong turn. And as much as it's saying, hey, get back on the right track, it doesn't only tell me you took a wrong turn. What does it do? It helps you get back onto the right track. And so that's what's a blessing about a GPS. Whether you're old school, use a map, either way, it helps you in that way. okay, follow this right here. The problem is not that you took a wrong turn. Hey, you're going to take a road trip. A road trip, in my mind, is a lot like a life journey. You're going to take a wrong turn somewhere. That's not the problem. The problem is if you don't get back on the right way. That's the problem. Somewhere, now, okay, I know, I'm the only man who's taken a wrong turn out here. The rest of you all, you're always on the right track. I got it. So my wife's so gracious to me. She's like, well, I think we might need to go that way. I'm like, I got it. You know, us men don't like to admit that we've taken a wrong turn. That's one of the most dangerous parts about it in life. We can be on the wrong path, yet we can be so convinced that we're headed the right direction. It's so true. It's not just men driving, it's people living. Right. If you don't believe me, God believes that so much about your life that he included it twice in his word. He said this, there is a way that what? Seemeth right unto a man. But what's the end of that way like? It's the way of death. And the consequences are severe. And he said it twice. He said it in Proverbs 14:12. He said it in Proverbs 16:25. Maybe he wants us to pick up on the fact of the matter that we can become convinced that we're headed down the right way when we're headed down the wrong way. And now let me tell you, even though we have the Word of God and we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, our internal navigation system is desperately broken because we still have a sin nature. And you will always be prone to head the wrong way and think you're going the right way. It seems right to you because it's satisfying to your flesh, and it will be there until the day that you meet God. It will be there. And so we have this propensity to always head the wrong direction. Now, a tremendous blessing in your life is somebody who's going to hold up a sign and say, you're going the wrong way. You took a wrong turn in life, and this is the way that you need to head. That's called correction. And you think about it, boy, you're on a street, you're taking some small turns here or there, and there's not a lot of consequences, but there's some turns, there's some exits that you don't want to miss. Isn't that right? In life, and it's that way. You know, I look back on my short 26 years here, and I see a road in my life, and there's intersections that I'm just desperately thankful that God put a man or sometimes a woman there, and they acted like a fork in the road. Whereas like, Levi, I'm going to be a fork in the road in your life, and you're going to have to either deliberately choose to keep going the wrong direction, or I'm going to point you in the right direction. And you want to be that for people. A fork in the road where they confront you, and they're either going to have to deliberately choose to keep going the wrong direction or they're going to go the right direction. You need people like that in your life desperately. Amen, desperately, you need somebody in your life who's going to hold up a sign from the smallest everyday things to the biggest life decisions and help correct you. You need someone like that in your life. But you also need to be that somebody to somebody else. And that's why this text is so rich right here. It says, a wise reprover. That's one side of it. It's one side of your card that you got. And then an obedient ear. And God wants you to be both. He wants you to know how to reprove people wisely, and he wants you to know how to take correction with an obedient ear. You got to be both. It's not one side or the other. So you should have got a card right there. And somebody says, are you some kind of expert on correction? Actually, it's quite the contrary. I stink at it so bad, at taking it and at giving it, that I desperately needed a process to help me. Because what ended up happening in my life, I had more examples that I could look back on and I said it wrong or I took it wrong, rather than saying it right and taking it right. I don't want to live like that. God doesn't want me to live like that. People desperately need me to learn how to be a wise reprover, and they need you to learn how to be that as well. And so we're just going to work through a process here tonight that the Lord helped me develop right there. So you should have two sides of that card, and this is going to be really simple. It really is. And there's just two main thoughts right there. Well said, which connects with the phrase a wise reprover, and then well taken, which connects with the word the words "an obedient ear." Okay, so you have the phrase "well said." It comes from a wise reprover in verse 12. So what kind of reprover? A wise reprover. Reproof qualifies the word, or wise qualifies the word reproof. What kind of ear? An obedient ear. Hey, you don't just want to say it to people. You want to say it well. You don't want to just take it. Man, I'm just going to take it. You know, somebody can correct me and I'll just take it, whatever, and I'll just fluff it off and just keep going my way. No, you want to take it well. You don't just want to, so, well, they just need to take it however I say it, and that's just the way it's going to be, just black and white, take it or leave it. No, you want to be known as a wise reprover, because get this, there's no do-overs. There's no do-overs at these points in time where somebody confronts you about something in your life. You only have that opportunity to respond either with an obedient ear or a disobedient ear, or times where God says, you need to go talk to that person. You only have one opportunity, that opportunity to do it right. You don't want to blow it. And man, I've had so many times of blowing it. And have you had times of blowing it? Come on. On correcting your children, on correcting your co-workers, your employees, your ministry workers that are working for you, correcting your spouse, being corrected by your spouse, being corrected by your boss. You ever blow it? I've blown it. Absolutely. Those are pivotal times in life. Pivotal, pivotal. They are the moments that matter the most in many ways. They really are. So let's really take this serious tonight. Let's just work through this process. I know you're tired. I know what a week of VBS is like, and I'm not going to keep you long tonight. I just want to be a help in some small way. So let's start off right here, and we'll start with "well said." And if you have a pen, you can fill these in as we go. Well said. So number one is choose your spirit before your words. Choose your spirit before your words. There are two ways to say anything. This is incredibly vital. Incredibly vital. And I mean, even on the trip up here, I messed this up. And I blurted out words before I even thought, how am I going to choose? What spirit am I going to choose to talk to my wife? Hey, listen to this right here. A good spirit can make up for some poor words. Some good words cannot make up for a bad spirit. Is that the truth?
It is.
That is the truth. You know, you got a good spirit and your kids can tell, you know, Dad really tried. He maybe didn't have the best words right there, but man, he really wanted to get me in the right direction. He maybe didn't say all the right things. That will cover a multitude of the wrong words. The opposite is not true. You don't just barge in and say, this, I'm just going to go into this situation. This is what needs to be said right here. Whoa, put the brakes on. You feel that flare come inside of you where you're angry and it's like, I'm going to go take charge of this situation. Hey, use that as a trigger. Use that flare as a trigger in your own heart to say, I need to put the brakes on right here. Fools rush in. Fool's rush, I need to put the brakes on. I'm going to choose my spirit before I go in with words, because the spirit you choose often will determine some of the words you choose as well. You know, Proverbs, I love this verse in Proverbs right here. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Two people can say the same thing in two different ways. There's two different outcomes. Some people, all they really do is just cut people up. They just cut people up. You ever done that to your wife? You ever done that to your husband? Just go in, and it's just a bloody mess after you just cut them all up. It's like the piercings of a sword. But you can say the same thing to them, and it can be health to them. You can say the same thing. Just choose the right spirit. It's so vital right there. There's two ways to say anything. Number two. Select every word deliberately. Let me spell that out for you. DELIBERATELY. Deliberately. Brother Pyle's smiling because that is the word that gets driven into us at Bible Baptist Church. Everything has to be deliberate. Deliberate, deliberate, deliberate. You're probably starting to hear it around here because you get it in your head and it just haunts you at night. You know, you're trying to sleep and you're like, I need to sleep deliberately. You know, you know, it just gets into your system. Oh, man. So listen to this right here. The discipline of minding your words over words that come to mind. The discipline of minding your words over words that just come to mind. I'm just going to say whatever. I'm just going to go in there and just do it. Well, how's that working for you? How's that worked so far? Choose a different process if the product's not working well. You know? So minding your words over words that come to mind. I want you to think about this right here. Okay? It's your body on the operating table having a very serious heart surgery. And your surgeon has his tools right here. And he really needs this tool over here. But it's just kind of out of reach. And so he said, well, that one looks close enough. And I'll just pick up that tool. And he goes to work on your heart. How do you feel about your surgeon? Probably not very good, do you? You'd like him to go reach for the right tool, wouldn't you? Think of it when you correct people like open heart surgery. You are dealing with a very vulnerable situation. You need to choose the right words. How tired do you think a surgeon is after a day of surgery? Exhausted, depleted. Paul would say he's been spent. He's spending and being spent. That's how much energy it takes to correct somebody in a way that'll be really beneficial for them. You're not just annoyed by them. I just want you away from me. I want you to stop doing what you're doing because it annoys me. You're trying to make them better, trying to build that person. That depletes you in a serious way, but it's more rewarding than the regret of just going in however you want to and hurting people. So to select every word deliberately. Number three, we're moving along. We're doing good, aren't we? All right, number three, on the first side, train with mindsets. Train with mindsets. How to influence 1,000 future decisions with one thinking process. Train with mindsets. How to influence 1,000 future decisions with one thinking process. Okay, I want you to think about this. Correction is absolutely crucial, but it is not the long-term solution for helping people. All right, let me give you a very simple illustration. Grant, let's fast forward Grant's life. He's 2 years old right now. Let's fast forward him to 6 years old. Grant, go clean up your room. Okay, I'm going to go clean up my room. Grant, pick up that. Pick up that toy. Pick up this toy. Pick up this toy. Pick up this toy. Pick up this da-da-da-da-da-da. How you do it with your kids. And you walk them through the process like that. Okay, well, Grant's going to have to go clean up his room over and over and over and over again if all I'm doing is going in there and, Grant, look at your room! It looks awful! Go clean up your room, son! Or I can take the time several times and I can train him. You know, the Bible doesn't say to correct a child in the way she should go. It says to train a child in the way they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. So here's what that looks like. Okay, Grant, you have this toy. Now we're going to make a space for this toy. And every time after you're done with it, this toy goes back in this space. And it's the principle, a place for everything and everything in its place. Grant, we're going to make a place for everything. And then when you're done with it, everything needs to go back in its place. So that's the difference between Grant clean up your room and you correcting him and telling him, this is terrible, you need to make this better. And now you're working through it with him. And you're training him. And now he has a thinking process that when dad's not there, when he's in college, his roommates don't want to kill him. Okay? Help your children's future roommates from a resident advisor at school. Help them, please. I don't know where that came from in the message, but I'm passionate about it. You know, oh man. When your kids don't know that they have to put detergent in their laundry, there's serious problems. That's not even like something I made up. That really did happen. Do you know how bad laundry smells when you wash it multiple times? It gets worse without soap. Do you know that? It's just getting wet over and over again and dried and wet. It's bad. So let's get back to the message. Train with mindsets. Okay, here's a very, mindsets is a Pastor Hardy thing. I'm not ashamed to pass on the training I'm getting at Bible Baptist. I'm just not. And so mindsets, Pastor Hardy often says, it's like, it's the difference between having glasses or context that you can take out, glasses you can take off, contacts you can take out. It's the difference between that and having LASIK surgery, where you can't change it. And everything you see, you always see that way. You can take the glasses off, or you can see outside your peripheral, and it's different. When you have LASIK surgery, you see everything that way. And that's what you're trying to do, because you can't always be there with the ministry helper. You can't always be there with the employee. You can't always be there with your child. And so it's not about you being there at every moment of time to correct them along the way. Use those moments of correction to instill a mindset in them that will then affect thousands of future decisions. You see that right there? So it's not about being there at all of those thousands of decisions. It's taking that. I just shared with Brother Pyle this it was incredible. Five staff guys at Bible Baptist Church, and aside from Pastor Hardy, and there was a Saturday where it snowed, and it's 10:30. We get there at 9, and not a one of us had shoveled off the sidewalks. And the staff goes out the door, and there we see the fateful sight of Pastor Hardy sweeping off the sidewalks with snow. Can you imagine the fear of seeing that? And he sent just a very gracious but very helpful, it just said, staff mindsets, snow. And it was, what he did is he took that one instance, and then he said, okay, I want you to take these mindsets from this instance. I want you to apply it to 1,000 more instances. It's not about the snow. It's about the thinking process that affects so many other things than just this one situation, all right? And so we'll get to this here a little bit later. We could have been crushed by that, or we could have been like, ah, it's just snow. But that's the taking part of it right there. Train with mindsets. It's like LASIK surgery. So don't just tell people what to do. Train them how to think. And then it affects what they do. Isn't that good? I mean, that's just so helpful right there. So don't just say, hey, there's times like that you need that, but train people how to think biblically off of Bible principles, Bible mindsets right there. So that's the first half of the card right there. Well said, but help me out. We need both sides of the card, don't we? We need to say it well, and we need to take it well. And God wants you to excel at both sides of the card. So let's work through this one right here. Question yourself. Question yourself. The vulnerability of suspecting yourself before defending yourself. Question yourself. The vulnerability of suspecting, suspecting yourself before defending yourself. Our natural propensity is to put the armor up. Don't come at me like that, bro. Whoa, you do not have the ability to talk to me like that. Who are you? You know, who do you think you are in my life to come and correct me about my ministry, or to correct me about my child rearing, or to correct me about how I dealt with my... Who do you think you are to come and talk to me like that? Is that not our immediate reaction? It is. And unless we purpose to suspect ourselves, we will always by default defend ourselves. We will. And what do? You justify. You have a million reasons to justify, but let me tell you, you have some really important reasons to suspect yourself. What does the Bible say is the most deceitful above all things? Oh, I thought it said it was the other person. Isn't that true? We're like, no, you don't understand. Ooh. It's this that's most deceitful, isn't it? Maybe we need to suspect ourselves. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not true. But here's what you got to do. You got to take an introspective look and say, you know what? There's probably an ounce of truth in every criticism. I probably really need to look and see, even if it was in a bad spirit. How about that? Didn't Jesus say something about, hey, if you do good when... if wrong is done to you when you... did wrong, well, you should, he said, if you do right when something wrong was done to you, then, anyways, I'm not going to get that right, so we're just going to move on. Hey, it's hard up here sometimes. This high altitude got me all messed up. Actually, it's really Brother Pyle, so He's like, man, I was saying, I got all these allergies and stuff. He's like, yeah, the climbing up here is weird and stuff. I'm like, no, this happens every time you're around me. So I'm just messed up. Oh, man. All right, so let's keep working through here. So we're questioning yourself, opening, let's use a medical illustration right there. It's like opening yourself up to corrections, like laying your character, your personality, your decisions down on the operating table, and you're letting somebody take a scalpel, and they're cutting the impurities away. That's tough. That's messy. That hurts. But you know what? You let somebody do that to you, and it hurts to take out impurities, doesn't it? But boy, you walk away from that, and you're like, wow. I'm so much more healthy. I'm glad I let somebody do that to my personality, my decisions, my character. I'm going to lay it out on the table. I've told my pastor before, Pastor, I literally want you to think on anything you see me do that you can correct me about anything without fear of offending me, anything. I want you to be able, if I'm combing my hair wrong, if I'm cutting my hair wrong, if my shoes aren't shined right, like Brother Pyle was saying this morning, just feel free to correct me about anything. Kids, that'll get you so far. Teenagers, that'll get you so far. Have that mindset right there. Question yourself, not the person who is correcting you. Let's work through number two right here. Hey, just got two more points left. We're doing good, aren't we? All right, welcome correction. Welcome it. That's not just accepting it. That's a whole different level. Welcome correction. It's like you're seeking it out. Hey, I need you because you know how prone you are to go the wrong way, so that you are actively pursuing correction in your life. And if it's you feel like somebody's going to offer some correction to you, and they just sense this person has open arms, that they have a open spirit about it. So how about this right here? Encouraging the other person to say everything they would if they felt they could. Welcome correction, encouraging the other person to say everything they would if they felt they could. Here's a fact of life. A wise reprover rarely gets to say everything that needs to be said. That's just true. Let's just deal with the rubber meets the road type stuff right here. It's like, okay, if let's just use Pastor Hardy and me. If he's talking to me, he has things in his mind that he knows Levi Pelletier desperately needs to hear. But what he's detecting is how far he can go before he devastates my integrity of not being offended by something. Can I let this question just sink into you real quick? Just let this sink. At what level are you too offended to be corrected? At what level are you too offended to be corrected? At what point is your character, your personality, is like it's off limits? Or your pastor can't talk to you about that. Staff member can't talk to you about that. Mature believer can't talk to you about that. It's like, no, that's off limits in my life. I'm not letting you tread on that territory. At what level of detail? God can use you so much more if you let God use people to help shape you, to carve you, to chisel things in and out of you. It's really true. It really is. So there's that point right there. We'll keep moving along right here. Lastly, avoid the ditches. I think you're very familiar with two ditches, right? Is that right? I'm sure you probably hear that from your pastor. I've heard it twice today already. Here's what we do. We want to stay out of this ditch right here, and we're trying to stay out of it that we fall into this ditch right here. And we're trying to stay out of this ditch right here, and we fall into this ditch back here. So there's two ditches right here, neither crushed nor unmoved. Neither crushed nor unmoved. Some people, they feel like it's a mark of strength if they can just be corrected about something and just slough it off and keep going. It's like, that doesn't affect me. Especially us men, we're like, oh, I can take that. And we flex on the inside, like we're really tough because we could just take that and just keep going, keep rolling with our steel personality and stuff like that. Man, that's not a sign of strength. That's a sign of pride, you know. And strength is really humility, not pride. It really is. Doesn't it take more strength to hold back a punch than to throw one? Isn't that true? And it's the same thing here. Just having the humility there to not be unmoved by it. You can't just say, well, they don't know anything. I don't respect them. They have this flaw in their life. It's like the ad hominem against where we, that's a, it's a deal where if somebody has something wrong in their life, then you dismiss whatever they say about you because of what they have in their life. But what they say is probably still valuable in your life right there. It probably is. And so we need to have the humility to let really anybody come and give us correction. It doesn't really matter who. It just matters if it's true or if it's not. So don't be unmoved, but don't be crushed. A lot of people get stuck in the moment of correction. That can be so true with teenagers. It really can. It's like, man, your pastor's coming up to you, or your dad, or your youth pastor, Brother Vi, has come up to you, and they're like, hey, you got this issue in your life, and you're just so devastated by it that you never move past the moment of correction. Isn't that true? Some people just get stuck on the moment of correction right there. Correction is not meant to crush you. It's meant to change you. So that's exciting. Just say, you know what? I'm going to take this right here. It's not going to devastate me. I'm not going to stop right here. Somebody just pointed something out in my life. It's okay. Does correction hurt? Yes, it hurts. Boy, there's some sting to it, isn't there? Ooh, that didn't feel good. You know? Boy, we have that from our authorities especially, but don't just get stuck right there. Just move. It's not meant to crush you. It's meant to change you. And then what's exciting about it is if you take it the right way, you grow. And that's exciting. It really is. And then you see God using you more. And boy, the people who are the most correctable, they have the most opportunity. You know that's true? It's not whether or not, I love what Brother Pyle was saying about Brother Ben, and it's great. We won't give him a big head right here, but it's a great quality about Brother Ben. He's never had to correct his attitude. He's had to correct his actions because he doesn't know ministry, but never his attitude. That's vital. And his best friend Noah interns at our church, and the same can be said of him. And you know what? They don't have to have it all together. I'm 26 years old. I don't have it all together by any means. But God will bless an attitude there, and he'll give incredible opportunity to somebody who has a good spirit about it. So it's good. So don't fall into either of those ditches, being, man, I'm not going to let this affect me. I'm just going to keep being who I am. Or, oh, I'm never going to get past it. I'm such a failure. I'm a loser. You know, I can never achieve anything. No, that's not what it's about. Stay in the middle right there. Just realize, hey, this is an opportunity for me to get back on the right path and for me to grow and God to use me more. And so that's exciting. So I just want to close very simply right here. I just want to challenge you to take this card and to use it. Use this card. It's meant to be a tool. Use it. Put it somewhere that you're going to see it. Put it on your fridge. Put it at your office at work. Put it in your car. Put it by your bed. Put it somewhere that you're going to see it, because right now you may not feel like, boy, I really need this message. You're going to need it tomorrow, Mom. You're going to need it tomorrow, Dad. Son, daughter, business owner, ministry leader, church member. You're going to need it this month, friend. If a friendship's going to survive and thrive, you're going to need it. And here's what you got to do. You got to flip it over every once in a while. Because you need both sides of it, desperately. Let me just remind you how we started off a little bit. You don't get any do-overs. They're crucial, crucial times in your life. Crucial, crucial times in other people's lives. We're talking about the eternal trajectory of people's lives. And it's crucial, crucial that you don't just say it, you say it well. It's crucial, crucial you don't just take it from your parents, take it from your pastor. You take it well, and you really let it embed right there. Use the card right there, and just remember this right here, and I'm done with this. These are such important times. Just beg God to help you not to blow it, but to do it right, to leave an impression on somebody in the right way with correcting them, or to accept the correction in the right way so that he can use you more, he can expand your capacity to be a blessing to people, to help steer them in the right way, and he can expand your capacity by allowing you to grow and get stuff out of your life so that he can use you. In this church needs to be full of people like that. It really does. God can use you so much more. It's been a blessing to be with you. I'm very thankful. We're going to stand at this time for an invitation here. I just pray that you would allow one point here, and you would just be humble enough to say, you know what, There's so many times that I don't say it right. I don't take it right. Lord, just beg God to help you make that different. Don't just be complacent and deal with some point right here. Purpose to use it in some way so that God could really take this message and make a difference in your life going forward. Just pray here and then we'll open it up for invitation. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to open your word, to be challenged in a specific way. And I pray for every person here, no matter what role they find themselves in, to rise to the occasion here of saying it well and taking it well. Help us not just to be a reprover, not just to listen to correction, but to do it in the right way. I pray this in your name. Amen.